I think one of the biggest mistakes that sales reps make when they're sending out a sales email is that the email is in fact salesy. In other words, there's always an ask in there for an appointment, a demo, a discovery call, that type of thing. But there actually is another type of email that they should mix in that will help change up the flavor. This week we're going to go there. My name is Paul Castain from Castain Training Systems, and I'm the author of the YourSalesPlaybook.com blog and your host for the Sales Playbook Podcast. I've personally trained over 40,000 sales reps, sales leaders, and business owners to sell more. So get your playbooks ready because school is now in session. This week's episode of the Sales Playbook Podcast is brought to you by our Emails That Rock download, and I'm going to be talking all about it at the end of the podcast. In the meantime, if you want to go check it out and you find yourself a little impatient like I am and you want to just get the info now, feel free to visit yoursalesplaybook.com/rock your email. So today we're going to be talking about changing up the flavor of your sales emails, because as I mentioned before, the problem with most sales emails is that they're just sales emails. And what happens is, if we're always coming at somebody and we're always hitting them with a pitch and we're always coming at them with that salesy type of vibe, we really condition them to no longer open our emails. And I bet you a lot of you listening do this too. When you're constantly being spammed and there's absolutely no value in there, what happens? You just say, well, there's no reason to open that, right? And in many cases, even your inbox does the job for you and just reroutes it to the old spam folder. So today we're going to talk about how you could change up that flavor. Now, I want to introduce a concept to you that I've been teaching now for about a year. I started teaching it at the very beginning of the pandemic. See, what happened was, there was a lot of thought leaders. Now, this going back to March of 2020, I remember all these thought leaders were saying, you really shouldn't sell at a time like this. And I completely disagreed with that philosophy. And it was not only were they saying, hey, you shouldn't be selling at a time like this, you should just be adding value and giving. And see, the problem with that concept is you're going to have really skinny children if you just embrace that. Because if you try to pay your mortgage just based on love and goodwill and everything else, they're going to laugh you out of the bank. Try to pay for your groceries that way. So, you know, you do have to pay the bills. At some point, I wish we were living in a world where we could just all be wonderful to each other and good karma would come our way and our bank accounts would be nice and full because of it. But I live in the real world where that really doesn't play out and scale very, very well if that's all you're doing. Now, by the way, there is a name for organizations that do that, and they're called charities. And, you know, if you're a charity, God bless, keep doing it. And, you know, I'm sure there'll be an idea or two for you in here. But the problem with that philosophy, again, was that it could really bankrupt you. But you see, there's a problem that exists on the other end of that when we keep coming at people and hammering away at them and selling and asking and pitching. Because, well, first of all, you know, sales cycles now are a bit longer thanks to the pandemic. So we're going to be in this courtship a bit longer. And when you're constantly asking and trying to set up a demo and trying to set up a discovery call, a quick meet and greet and all that kind of stuff, it gets old real fast. And what can happen is you can basically condition people not to open your email. And why would they? If they're recognizing your name as someone who just pitches them and spams them and offers zero value, then, you know, what would be the point in opening up that email? So what I did was I came up with this concept of off-on messaging. Now, an off message is going to be what we're going to be focusing on today. It's, in this context, an email that doesn't have a sales message. There's not going to be an ask for a discovery call or to set up a WebEx or a Zoom meeting or, you know, meet and greet, appointment, any of that kind of stuff, or certainly to buy. It's going to be really, in a way, giving to them and doing something of value. Okay, and I have several examples of how we can do that, because if you've been listening to me for a while, one of my pet peeves is all these people saying, you have to provide value. And they never tell you how. It's just one of those phrases that we've heard so many times in sales that we automatically nod our head. Okay, great. How do you do it? I don't know. I just like to say cute sound bites and have no clue of what they mean, right? So, of what they mean. So, an on message, again, is going to be a message that does have a sales message or a request to do a demo or a discovery call, a meet and greet. There's going to be a sales ask in there, if you will. But today we're not going to be talking about that. We're going to be talking about this idea of how do you change the flavor of that sales email. So with the off-on messaging, I just want you to keep in mind that when you learn some of these off messages today that you can do that don't have a sales message, you can now mix up the messaging, and you can have some of your messaging that's going to be on, where you're asking for something, where you're trying to get in front of them, and you're going to have some of them that are off, where it's just basically the vibe is going to be, here, to accept this. Here's something of value to you. So having said all that, because that was a long time, I just feel like I just rambled on there, I want to give you several ways that you can change the flavor. So the very first thing, I've talked a lot about this. I have been doing this religiously since at least 2010. So that's 11 years. And I started doing this mostly over on LinkedIn with my network. I find that it works very, very well. You can certainly use this with anyone that you're pursuing in terms of a prospect. And it doesn't have to be just over on LinkedIn. You can certainly do this through their inbox, right? And email. So one of the things that I want you to consider doing to change the flavor is send along a resource. So what the hell could be a resource? What are some examples of resources? Well, if you come across, say, a website that could be useful to them, send them the link, right? If you come across an article, forward it. Don't just forward it, obviously. You know, I mean, put a little note in there or whatever. If you come across a podcast or an app, send it along to them. Now, a couple of examples that I just want to give you, and you know, you could use different things to influence what kind, you know, like what kind of resource you're going to send to them or the content that's contained in the resource. A few months ago, what I did was, in fact, I'm sorry, it was I did it a few months ago, but I first did it at the beginning of the pandemic. A lot of companies wanted to do sales training, but they were struggling and they didn't know how they were going to finance it. There was a lot of people on a one-to-one level wanted to hire me as a sales coach, but they didn't know what the future was going to bring, and they didn't, you know, they were a little nervous about shelling out the money. So what I did was I sent out resources to show people how they could finance both the coaching as well as sales training if they wanted to. So I sent things along like that. What I also did as a resource is I sent along, because everybody was binge watching Netflix, right? When we were like really knee deep in the whole quarantine thing, a lot of people were binge watching Netflix. So I said, hey, look, if you're a little bit sick of binge watching Netflix, why don't you binge listen to 300 plus free audio sales lessons, which is a fancy way of saying my podcast. So I sent the link that you can use to access every one of the episodes that I have, and right now I think we're at maybe 319, 320 episodes. Going back, by the way, this is going to be the 11th year of the podcast. We go back to 2010. So those are the kind of things. Now, when just a couple of random thoughts about resources. There are resources that you send that are, I like to look at kind of two flavors of them. One is a brand agnostic resource. And what I mean by that, and it's not my phrase, by the way, I got it from a really cool book called Content Rules by Anne Hanley and I think C.C. Chapman or something like that. And they talked about this idea of brand agnostic. Now, what brand agnostic is, it's really nothing to do, in my case, with Castain training systems. It would be a resource that I haven't put out, my company hasn't put out, it really doesn't link back to me. Again, it could be, for example, that when I was talking about how people could get financing. That's not my financing program. It was some stuff that you could do through PayPal, believe it or not. So I sent that along. Now, though that would be an example of something brand agnostic, but then there are also brand-centered resources that you can send out. So when we say brand-centered, it doesn't mean that every other word in there is a sales pitch. It just means that it's something we put out. So an example that I put out, I've put out a guide, How to Hire a Sales Coach. That's definitely a brand-centered resource. So something like that. So think about that. But also, another random thought here is think about where we are right now and where your clients, more importantly, are with this phase of the pandemic and what would be useful to them. So you have a lot of companies that are really starting to not only reopen, but now regulations are starting to relax a bit. A lot of them, in fact, my son's company, they were starting about the initial phases of reopening the office and having some of them go back and, you know, everything required with that. So, or everything involved in that. So look at that. You can also look at obviously a trigger event, and the trigger event is something that's going on in their world that really could increase the probability of them needing your product or service. So, and you find trigger events by doing your research, and that is really a big mistake that a lot of people make when it comes to the emails. When it comes to picking up a phone, most people, I would hope by now anyway, but most of the people I meet know that, yeah, you should do some basic research before picking up the phone. Doesn't mean we spend all day and become a professional research analyst. It just means that you really don't want to go in cold. You want to try to find something you could leverage and then really tailor that dialogue around preferably a trigger event. Well, the same holds true here, and the mistake that a lot of people make with emails is they think, well, it's just an email. I don't need to do some basic research, but you really should, and your goal is to find something going on in their world that you can kind of reference, and in this context, if you're sending along a resource, then send along a resource that could really speak to something that they're experiencing right now. Okay, so that's the first thing. Some of these other ones I'm just going to whip through because they don't really require as much of an explanation. But so the first thing is send along a resource. Now, the next thing that you can do is you can invite the recipient of your email, right, to an event or a webinar. And again, it could be something you guys are hosting. It could be something the industry is hosting. You could even if, and sadly, a lot of the LinkedIn groups have gone by the wayside. But if you happen to be a member of an industry group and there's an interesting discussion going on, invite them to the discussion. But another little random thought for you to think about, where a lot of the LinkedIn groups aren't as robust as they used to be, Facebook groups are picking up a lot of momentum. So let's just say you're a member of a group over there and you see that there's a really interesting discussion that maybe they could shine and look like a rock star, and maybe they would find value in. Maybe they're addressing a topic that was expressed to you one time when you cold called there or in an email exchange that you had. That's something that you could do. Invite them into that. So you could think about that right there. The other thing that you could do, and this is one of my favorite things to do, is send a matchmaking email. A matchmaking email is when you introduce two people who should know each other. And the way that I send them is I send it to both parties. And what I do is I'll just like start it off kind of, you know, hi, you know, Jane and John. You know, I thought you guys might want to know each other because, and I state a reason. Maybe it's because the person that really I'm trying to sell to is in need of that type of service. I noticed it. Or maybe, again, I noticed something with the trigger event that I found that this person can help them or whatever. Maybe it's simply sending them a customer. Who the hell is going to get mad at you for that, right? Or whatever the reason is. So what I'll do is I'll start it off, you know, hi, you know, Jane and John, I thought you guys should know each other, right? So what I'll do then is I'll say, you know, Jane, John works for blah, 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 and he does this. And I'll do, you know, the same thing again with Jane's credentials. Just short and sweet. And then I end it with, you know, my work is done. The rest is up to you guys. If there's anything I can do to help, let me know. Right? It's real short and sweet and simple. And again, it's another way for you to provide value. I've done this a lot over on LinkedIn. I've done this a lot with my traditional network that I've built mostly from going to the Chamber of Commerce and industry events and things like that. This works really well in that environment because it's a form of networking, right? We don't just network by collecting business cards and by just, you know, connecting, quote unquote, with someone over on LinkedIn. Well, we really got to get active and get in there and open up our networks to each other and help each other and facilitate introductions. So that's what you could do with a matchmaking email. The next type of email that you can send along that is, again, an example of an off message, there's no sales ask in here, is send along an idea. Send along a no strings attached idea. It could be based on conversations you've had. It could be based on things you're seeing in the industry. It could be based on hot topics in the industry right now. It could be based on this phase of the pandemic. It could be based, again, on that trigger event that you found that has some, you know, that they're experiencing. Send along a no strings attached idea. One of the things I like about sending along ideas. Now, I don't want to give them everything I have. I mean, otherwise, what's the value in hiring me, right? And that's not just being said because I'm a sales coach. It's being said that I really think the best value should go to your clients, the people who are paying the bills. But the beautiful thing about ideas and sharing them is really that should be part of the relationship, that you're going to have those, you know, those that added value, those value adds, and providing that prior to them purchasing, again, without giving away the store, gives them a sample, lets them know what it's like. So that's something that you can do. The other thing, and it's one of my favorite newer things that I'm doing, it's called the potato chip demo. And what a potato chip demo is, it's when you send an email and you're either going to link to a very brief pre-recorded WebEx. You guys realize that with pretty much any webinar type of platform that you're using, whatever platforms you guys are using to do your demos and so on, there's a record function. So what you could do is you can kind of pre-record something. And you can base this little taste, this little potato chip, a little sample, if you will, of a solution in that demo. And what you're doing is, again, we're not solving everything. We're not giving them the whole store here. We're not going hour and a half. But, you know, and at this phase, who the hell is even going to give you an hour and a half, right? So we want to give them enough to get their interest. So what I might do, if I was doing a potato chip demo, let's say that I find out with my research, I find a trigger event that you are hiring sales reps. So I'm not going to do this cold and just send this to you. This is going to be part of the overall cadence. Maybe we've spoken a few times on the phone. It really didn't go anywhere yet and result in, you know, a full-on demo, discovery call, that kind of thing. Maybe we've had a few emails or, you know, and or I've sent you some snail mail or a FedEx or something like that. But with the potato chip demo, what I could do if you're hiring, I could just kind of, you know, provide an idea or provide an overview of how I support new sales reps. And one of the things sales managers really like is that when they hire me, I become what I really offer is a help desk type of functionality. So here's a manager that has their hands full and they don't have to be bogged down with, you know, helping them on every last little technical selling skill. I can do that for them. They can bounce their sales emails off of me. They can tell me about a conversation they just had, and we could talk about how they could handle it better or more effectively and all that kind of good stuff. So what I can do in 5 minutes or less is kind of walk them through that part or that particular benefit and what it means to them, right? But I could also, I don't have to just use WebEx, right? I could also do this as an embedded video email. And I've been talking about this actually since 2017. And there is an awesome free app that you can get that I've been using. I'm not affiliated with them. And it's called Vidyard, V-I-D-Y-A-R-D, Vidyard. And what you can do with this, it's awesome. I like it right on my phone. And I can shoot a very quick video. And again, doing that potato chip demo where I'm talking about something that, based on my conversations, my research, or whatever, what I'm seeing in the industry, I can call that person by name, which I would also recommend you do in the pre-recorded WebEx type of thing. And I can kind of walk them through everything. But now they're looking at me and they're seeing it. And it embeds right through this app. You shoot it right on your phone and then you end the video and it allows you to embed it and embed the image from the video as well right into the email that you're sending. And what's cool about it, it changes things up. The next type of email that you can send, I refer to them as evidence types of emails, evidence-based emails. Now, what evidence is, it's really a series of things that we use to help eliminate and even reduce hesitation and doubt and skepticism, and certainly even combat objections and combat them in the ultimate way, where we head them off before they ever even happen, where it's almost like a little thought they're having, but they haven't voiced it. So let me give you some examples of evidence-based emails. So again, this might sound salesy to you. It really isn't. And it's just really kind of reiterating a point to put them at a certain level of comfort. There's not going to be any ask at the end of this email, because remember, this is what we're referring to as an off message. So it could be things like a fact, a testimonial. Quick thing about testimonials. Testimonials, right now, I think the best possible things you could do with testimonials is, number one, make sure the testimonial mentions you as well, because see, people buy you before the solution and before the company, and they want to know that they're in good hands. So most testimonials fall short because it really talks about the company and the solution, but it really, there's nothing in there applauding what you've done. So I think that's really, really important, especially because people, I wish I could tell you that everybody trusts us in sales, but we've had a lot of sleazy people before us that have damaged the name and have ruined trust. So with the, oh, the other thing with the testimonial is we're over a year into this thing now with the pandemic. What, a year, 2, 3 months, depending on where you are in the world. And I'm sure by now you've been able to help someone, help a customer during the pandemic. So if you could get a testimonial talking about how you and your solution and your company and your ideas or whatever have helped during the pandemic, see, that can address the very thing that's keeping people from taking a meeting with you right now, that they're worried about the pandemic and the unknown and everything. So now here you are coming through with something talking about how you guys kicked ass for them during a challenging time. I think that packs more punch. The other thing that you could do, obviously, in an email is a video demo. And we gave an example of that before when we talked about the potato chip demo. You could even, if you wanted to, give them a quick virtual tour of the place, right? You could embed that into the email through that app, Vidyard. You can provide statistics. Stories are fantastic, by the way. And if you're not using stories in general in your selling, you're really missing out on something. And they can work really, really well in email form as well. So I want you to think about that. The other thing too, you can offer a case study. You can provide an example. You can provide an analogy. And one of the things I always say about analogies and why they're so important is that in many cases, it allows us to dumb something down without really calling the other person an imbecile, right? It just allows us, we might have a really technical selling point, and now we can offer it in a way that somebody truly understands what we're talking about. So that's something that you can do as well. And then the final thing for now, because this is really a lot and certainly enough to keep you out of trouble with several of the next emails you're going to be sending out, ask a question. So it's an email that really the whole purpose of it is to ask a question. And you guys have used these types of emails before. I have a little bit of a different spin on it. And it's where you kind of say quick question. And what I recommend that people do is they, first of all, put the person's name in the subject line, because we've all been taught to respond to the sound of our own name. So if you were sending it to me, quick question, Paul. Now, the type of question that you use, I think, can make all the difference. So there is a questioning tactic that I teach, and it's called the framing question, a framing question. And the best way to learn this is, you know, we're all visual, right? We're all visual in the sense that it's very easy, like, and that's how we remember things, by the way. We think in pictures. So I want you to visualize a question mark with a frame around it, right? So we're framing the question. Now, the way that we frame the question is by starting that email off with a statement, and then we end with a question. What's really good about starting with the statement is that it sets up or frames the question. But the other thing it does too, it allows you also to demonstrate your expertise, because if you go and you cite maybe an observation you've seen in their industry, maybe if you go and you show them that you've done your homework and you start off by saying, hey, I note, like in my case with that trigger event being a company that's hiring sales reps, I've noticed that you've been hiring a lot of sales reps, specifically in the Northeast. That shows I've done my homework, right? So that could be the framing. Or I could, you know, start off and let's just say I'm sending it to our friend Jane. I could put, hi Jane, you know, I came across something that was kind of interesting, and I could cite a study. And, you know, I could talk about how the average sales rep, you know, according to what, you know, a research firm called Basics, the average sales rep is losing 2.1 hours a day to interruptions, right? I could say something like that. Or I could cite something else. I could cite, in my case, again, I do sales training. I could cite, you know, I came across something interesting. LinkedIn put out a report called The State of Social Selling. where they found that prospect responsiveness has dropped by over 40% since the start of the pandemic. Then I could end whatever those statements are that I'm making with a question, whatever the question's going to be. And an interesting thing about ending your email with a question is that you're going to notice that your response rate is going to go up. And remember, and in a case like this, it's important because what we're trying to do with these off messages is, number one, condition them that not every email that I send you is going to be backing you into a corner with some high pressure selling type of ask. And also, I mean, you know, many of the emails I'm going to be sending you are going to be valuable because they're either going to have an idea or introducing you to someone, inviting you to something, sending along a resource, that type of thing. So, you know, we want to do it for that reason, to really condition them and to build that relationship. But now when we end it with a question and you answer it now, now you and I are in a dialogue, and that's really what we want to do, whether it be through our emails or over on LinkedIn or when we quote-unquote cold call a business. We want to have that discussion. We have to stop thinking in terms of immediate gratification, and I want to be very clear in what I'm saying, because what I notice that, you know, a lot of people do is they automatically think, because you're proposing something, then it's the extreme opposite of what the current belief is. So what happens is when you offer something like what I just did here, saying, hey, you know, don't forget, let's offer value, let's give some things, let's not ask, is that they very easily can misunderstand my point and think that I'm saying don't ever ask for an appointment. Or don't ever have a sales ask. No, you're going to starve if you go with that philosophy. What I'm offering here is actually a nice middle-of-the-road approach where we're not giving away the store and doing all the warm and fuzzies and giving all the time, but yet at the same time, we're not constantly in their face trying to sell them something. So that's something that I want you to consider, all right? So with that, I want to just end on this note. One of the things that I just made available is a webinar that I've pre-recorded. We actually did it back in December. We had an incredible turnout, and it was called Emails That Rock, and I called it the Emails That Rock Pandemic Edition, because I feel that a lot of our communication has needed to change, whether it be through this tactic that I just offered with the off-on messaging and the types of messages that we're sending. But even when we're doing something that's going to be an on message and it's going to be not necessarily salesy, but contain a sales message, we really have to alter the language of that and the tactics that we're using. So I basically designed a webinar that focuses on that. So we did this back in December, and we had a tremendous amount of people come into it. But it occurred to me, here we are, it's May, it's 5 months later, and there was a lot of people who probably didn't come to this, because I think it was on like December 22nd or something, and I know how it is. A lot of the times by then we're mentally checked out. Many of you were already starting to enjoy your holiday and rest and relax and everything. So I figured I would make it available. And before I give you the link, I want to let you know, not only do we cover a lot of really cool tactics and suggestions that you need right now to have send a better email, but more importantly and more specifically, a better email during the pandemic, what I've decided to offer with it is also 20 email templates, also subject lines that I've made, the call to action. I've provided a gentler call to action as well for you. So if you'd like to learn more and if you'd like to download it, remember, it's pre-recorded, but you still get access to me. So if you have any questions as you go along, I'm going to be offended if you don't send me an email and say, hey, Uncle Paul, I have a question. So would you please go to yoursalesplaybook.com/rockyouremail. That's going to be all one word, all lowercase letters. yoursalesplaybook.com/rockyouremail. I'm Paul Castain from yoursalesplaybook.com. I am wishing you an incredible week ahead. Go get them. The Sales Playbook Podcast is a Castain Training Systems production. Subscribe to our free sales tips by visiting yoursalesplaybook.com/subscribe.